We're learning more details about an incident that has complicated relations between the U.S. and Pakistan. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the U.S. is poised to concede for the first time that it bears significant responsibility for last month's airstrike that killed 24 Pakistani troops near the Afghan border. But a U.S. military investigation is also expected to lay some blame on Pakistan. Joining us now is Adam Entis, national security correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. His article is in today's journal and is responsible for breaking the story. Adam, good morning to you.
Thank you very much.
So what do we make of the fact that this looks like a firefight between Pakistani forces and U.S. forces, and that at a certain point the U.S. called in a strike that killed these 24 Pakistani troops? What do we know?
Well, I mean, it looks to us, and based on what we were told about what the results of the investigation found, that there were a series of errors that were made. They were made by both sides, but in this report, the U.S. is acknowledging several that its forces made. And, you know, early on, the forces, when they came under fire from a ridgeline, they were told incorrectly that there were no Pakistani forces in the area. That was the first big mistake. The second one was a mapping error where the coordinates were relayed, but then when a computer system was used to kind of show the Pakistanis where this was taking place, there was a mistake made, and that resulted in the Pakistanis not realizing that the firefight was taking place where their forces were.
How much of this is the old snafu phenomenon that had, in this particular case, fatal consequences, and how much of this is an inherent consequence of the fact that the U.S. and Pakistan are adversaries and allies in this combat zone?
Well, there's no question. The report makes it very clear that the root of this is really mistrust on both sides, where the U.S. doesn't want to tell the Pakistanis where its forces are operating, because the U.S. or the troops believe that the Pakistanis are going to leak this information and compromise the operation and let the militants know that this is happening. At the same time, the Pakistanis look at the Americans as, in some cases, to be at odds with Pakistani policy, and they are very secretive, and they're not sharing information with the U.S. about where these bases are, where these small little outposts are located along the border. At least that's what the Americans are saying. So you have this mistrust on both sides that's coloring this, and in many ways is the real culprit here for why this happened.
So what are the scenarios for both sides climbing down off of this posture that's really quite tense and unproductive right now?
Well, I think this report is sort of the first step. It's conciliatory. The military is acknowledging its mistakes. Its version now really aligns with the initial Pakistani version, or much closer to it. So I think the Pakistanis are going to take away from this that you have a conciliatory military, a U.S. military, that is. This, may, according to U.S. officials, should clear the way for some additional steps on both sides beginning next week, and the American officials expecting the border crossings, which Pakistan closed in response to this cross-border raid, that those crossings would begin to start to open as early as next week.
Who does the apology? Petraeus, Panetta, or Obama, or all or none of the above?
Well, at this point, I think the idea is to have the Pakistanis take this report and see that the U.S. military is acknowledging these mistakes, and they're hoping it will not require an apology beyond that, because certainly the Obama administration hasn't been willing to do that so far, and there's no indication that they're looking to issue a formal apology.
Adam Entis, national security correspondent for The Wall Street Journal, who broke the story on that incident that killed 24 Pakistani troops near the Afghan border.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.